Yeah. Say hi. I know everybody's going to pay attention to you. All right. If Jesus were here right now, what would you do for him? What would you do for Jesus? If he were here right now, what would you do for him? Walk with him? Fall to your knees, worship. Ask for forgiveness, yeah. Is there anything you know, like wouldn't do? Like pretty much anything he asked, right? Anything he asked, he would probably do. There's a lot of thought about maybe what Jesus looked like. There's a lot of ideas. People have tried to paint what they thought he would look like and various things like that. But what do you think he would look like if he were here? What do you think he would look like? Think he'd be short? Yeah? Olive skin? We have a lot of ideas of what he would look like. But do you think, do you think Jesus would look like this? A sick person in a bed? Maybe Jesus would look like this, a group of refugees in a refugee camp. Think Jesus would look like a group of refugees in a refugee camp? Like this? You think Jesus would look like somebody in jail? Maybe he would look like, Jesus look like this? Maybe like a homeless person on the side of the street? It's easy to walk by a lot of these types of people and ignore them. But Jesus says, whatever you've done for the least of these, you've done for me. All right? If Jesus were here, Jesus is here. Jesus is all around us. If you look around at the people around us here this morning. Whenever we serve others, we're serving Jesus. Whatever we do for anybody around us, we're doing for Jesus. When Jesus asks us to serve him, he's asking us to serve each other, to love each other, to do whatever he's asking us to do. That's what we do when Jesus is here. That's what we do when Jesus isn't here, right? When we can't see him, we can. We can see him in the lives of the people around us. Don't ignore those around you. Don't walk past without doing something, right? Trying to help in any way that we can. You know, there's a lot of things that I can't do. But my wife and I have right now have chosen to open our home in one little way that we can help. And helping those that look like Jesus, right? And some are easier than others, right? They are. But everybody deserves to be loved like Jesus, right? Everybody. And so when we're talking about serving others, we're talking about serving Jesus and through the way that we talk, that way that we serve everybody around us. I'm going to turn it over to Fred as we head back.
Thank you, brother. Good morning. Certainly good to see everybody here this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, we'll look at verses 13 and 14 in just a few moments here. We have our sister Diana Brown back with us. As you know, she lost her husband Jay and has not been able to be here for a while. Jay has been sick for a little while, but she's back with us today. We're certainly glad that she's back with us today. Thankful for that so very much. I've got a question for you. How many of you came out yesterday for our work day? Will you raise your hand if you came out for our work day? Okay, we got several who raised their hands, who came out for the work day. What we were able to do yesterday, we were able to clear out the garage. Jay, is the garage cleaned out? Man, that's okay. Okay, there you go. Garage is cleaned out. We have the Bean Creek. We have Bean Creek right behind us, and we were able to go down the Bean Creek and do, you know, some cleaning up around the Bean Creek and things like that. And it was overall, it was a good day, but it wasn't without incident. I'm sure that you all know the story of Humpty Dumpty. Well, yesterday I was Humpty and had a great fall. Okay. It rained yesterday morning, and as I got here, I didn't realize we were going to be going out to the creek to clean out the creek bed and to clean around the creek. So I really wasn't dressed for it. I didn't have shoes for it. And so Kim Rodriguez and I, we head down on the east side of the, is it east? Is that correct? East? Yeah. East side. And thank you, Fred. Appreciate that. We're on the east side, and we're going to clean up down there. And so we find a place to go down, but boy, it is steep. And we had leaves that had fallen, and those leaves were wet. Now, Kim was able to make it okay. But I went after her, and I mean, I fell down that silly thing there. And Kim witnessed the whole thing, poor thing. You know, she witnessed everything. And so I fell down that and wrenched my back, but I was working, still trying to clean up as best I could, but boy, I really had some back pain. Still have a little bit of it this morning, but doing much better today. And then as Kim was there working, she picked up something that caused an allergic reaction and caused her hands to be very tingly, and there are needles all over that place, and drug paraphernalia and all this, and we were concerned that maybe she might have handled some fentanyl. We really didn't know, so she went off to the doctor and found out it was just an allergic reaction to something. How are you doing today, Kim? Doing good, good. We're glad to hear that. So it was a little bit scary, but you know, it was a way, though, that we were able to go down and really work and serve the Lord yesterday, and we're glad for those of you who were able to come out. We are continuing our series of lessons on revisiting our mission. Our mission, as you know, is right here on the wall, and it's back behind us as you leave, and where you can see the mission and know this is what we are about. So what is our mission? Let's bring up that slide here. And I want you to say the top lines with me, okay? Our mission is connect with God, grow in Christ, serve one another, reach the lost. This is the mission given to every follower of Jesus Christ. It is your mission, and it is my mission. And in order for us to make a lasting impact for Christ in our neighborhood, we have to put our mission into action. And the purpose of this series of lessons is not just to fill, you know, four consecutive Sundays, but it is to ingrain in each of us our responsibility to Christ and His church and the people around us. Thus far, we have looked at the first two actions of our mission, and that is to connect with God by coming to worship, and also to grow in Christ by joining a Bible study group. And this brings us to the third action of our mission, and that is to serve one another. Say that with me again. Serve one another. Now, as we connect with God and grow in Christ, we realize the importance of ministry. Christ did not leave His church, that's you and me, on this earth to do nothing. He left it here to serve God and to serve people. And then this is how we put the great commandment into action. You know, love God, love people. I want you to look what Paul says as he writes to the Galatian church in Galatians 5, 13 and 14. I want you to listen to Paul. If you remember our series, we studied this last summer. We went through the entire book of Galatians. And it's all about our freedom in Christ. But I want you to listen to what Paul says about our freedom in Christ. Galatians 5, verse 13, he says, "You brothers were called to be free, but," listen to what he says, "do not use your freedom to indulge in sin, the sinful nature." So we're not free to sin, but instead, he says, "rather serve one another in love." You notice what he said? He says that we are free to be a slave. Did you catch that? We are free to serve one another in love. He goes on, verse 14. He says, "The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself." So in our relationship with Christ, God has called us to demonstrate our love for Him and for people by being a servant. And we ought to be servants not only for our fellow Christians, okay? Not only for those who are here this morning and our fellow Christians, those who follow Christ, but we are to be a servant for all people. In fact, if you want to turn your Bible over to one page, over to Galatians chapter 6, and I want you to look at verse 10, Galatians 6, verse 10. I want you to listen to what he says here. Galatians 6, verse 10, Paul said, "Therefore, as we have opportunity," and by the way, we're given opportunity every day, okay? "As we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." So Paul said, yes, take care of your own church family, but it's not limited to only your church family. But we are to serve what people? All people. We are to serve all people. So we need to understand the importance of that. And so please understand that serving is not something that we decide to do one morning. You know, you wake up in the morning and you decide, you know, today I think I'm going to go serve somebody. Serving is not something that you decide to do one morning. It is who we are. It's who we are. In fact, Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2, verse 16, the latter part of that verse, he says, "Live as servants of God." In other words, he says here that we are to make serving a way of life. Okay? We are to make serving a way of life. Now let me ask you, do you see yourself as a servant or a volunteer? And there's a difference. There's a difference between the two. A volunteer picks and chooses when to serve, who to serve, and whether to serve. On the other hand, a servant serves no matter what. You know, if a servant sees a need, he helps. If he's able to do so, you know, and if he doesn't fall down, he helps, okay? He doesn't pick and choose when he feels like serving, who he wants to serve. Serving flows from the heart of a servant. Church, God wants more than volunteers. He wants servants. He wants those that he can count on to go about doing His work and carrying out His ministry all to His glory. Amen? All to His glory. He wants those who are truly people who want to serve those who are in need. And there are several reasons, I believe, several reasons why God has called us to be servants. But I want us to look at three this morning, okay? Number one, if you're taking notes, number one. Number one, by serving one another, we fulfill God's design for us. Okay? By serving others, we fulfill God's design for us. Paul writes in Ephesians 2, verse 10, he says this. He says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God created us to be His servants in the world. That's what God wants. I mean, the reason that Jesus left His church on this earth is to be an extension of Himself. The church is described as the body of Christ, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. We are the body of Christ. We become Jesus' extended eyes to see the plight of the lost and the helpless. We are his ears to hear their desperate cries for help. We are Christ's feet and hands that take us where hurting people are, to reach out with Christ's loving embrace. We are his mouth to share the good news of the gospel and to speak with the words of encouragement, you know, to bring salvation and hope for people. We are his body. We are designed to serve, and if we want to find true fulfillment, happiness, and contentment in life, friends, we are to look not only, we are not only to look to please ourselves, but we are to see what we can do for other people. Amen? That is who we are. If we are to impact people for Christ, then we need to be involved in ministry. Now, prayerfully, as we are serving others personally and through the ministries of this church, people will want to know more about our Heavenly Father. That's what we're trying to do. We want them to see Jesus in us. In fact, Jesus said it this way in Matthew 5, verse 16. Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works, your good deeds, your service, and your ministry, and praise your Father in heaven." Friends, Christianity is manifested by our good works. We are designed to serve. And by doing the good works that the great designer has prepared for us to do, will open up opportunities for us to be able to tell others about God. So our service, our good works, our ministry is a way that we reflect the light of Christ and shine brightly in this dark world. As we go out this Saturday knocking doors, inviting people to come to our Easter services, you are going to come across people from all walks of life. You're going to come across people who already know Jesus, and they're great servants of Christ themselves. You're going to come across people who don't really even know who Jesus is. Yeah, they hear about him. And, you know, they understand a little bit about Christmas, you know, the birth, you know. They know a little bit, but they really don't know who Christ is at all. And we have an opportunity to be able to
whatever that struggle might be, and whatever that they are going through, to let them know that we care. We care. And we are here to help in any way that we possibly can. And so we need to understand that as we reach out, we are letting the light of Christ shine brightly to us. I mean, the one who praises God is the man or woman that you helped when there was a need. The one who asks you about Jesus is the one who sees your deep concern and care for his or her well-being. The one who witnesses your light shining is the one for whom you prayed and cared and visited, you know, when he or she was ill. The one who sees Jesus in you is the one you will serve. That's the one who will see Jesus. And so we certainly need to understand that we are created for good work. Amen? But then secondly, by serving one another, we follow the example of Christ. Okay? We follow the example of Christ. Jesus didn't just preach about the importance of doing good works, you know, serving others. He lived it. He lived it. I want you to turn your Bible over to Matthew chapter 20, if you will, please. Matthew 20. I want us to look at verses 20 through 28. I'm not going to read this. I'm just going to paraphrase it, but I want you to follow along as I paraphrase, okay? Matthew 20, verses 20 through 28. We find the mother of James and John, who many scholars believe is also an aunt of Jesus, that is Jesus' aunt, humbly coming before him, kneeling down before him. And she asked Jesus if he would allow her two sons, who would possibly be his cousins, if indeed this is his aunt, they were his cousins, if he would allow her two sons to sit on his right and on his left in his kingdom. And what she is really asking is this. She is asking that her boys be given positions of honor. That's what this mother wants of her boys, to be given, you know, positions of honor in God's kingdom, Christ's kingdom. But yet Jesus tells her that she really doesn't even understand what she's asking. And besides that, he says, that's not my decision, that's the Father's. He's the one who decides, okay? But upon hearing his mother's request, the other disciples became very indignant toward James and John. Not because they, you know, his mother is asking them for these positions, but they are indignant because they want those positions for themselves. They don't want James and John to have the right and left of the kingdom of Jesus, on the throne of Jesus. They want those positions for themselves. But then Jesus calls them all together and he said, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, your slave. That word that's used there is bond servant. It really means a slave. Jesus said, if you really want to be great, then you need to be a slave. Position of honor? No, that's not what makes you great. Not positions of honor. What makes you great is being a servant of people. And then Jesus added, I did not come to be served, but to what? To serve. Jesus exemplified the life of a servant. I mean, wherever he went, he was confronted by hurting people, sick people, sinful people, forgotten people, people who had nowhere else to turn, people who had been shunned by society and overlooked by religionists. And yet it was to these people, these outcasts, that Jesus came to serve. And if Jesus, the Son of God, didn't think he was too good to roll up his sleeve and to serve others, then friends, we certainly have no excuse. If the Son of God is not too good to roll up his sleeve and serve others, we have no excuse. Amen? We have no excuse. Now I realize that being a servant is not a glamorous job, okay? What we were doing yesterday, Ben, that was not glamorous to say the least, okay? It was not a glamorous job. Helping someone move, building a ramp, you know, for the disabled that our brother Don does so often, washing dishes, cleaning up the kitchen, caring for crying babies, mowing lawn, shoveling snow, getting a call in the middle of the night and visit somebody in the hospital. These are just a few examples of what a servant is called to do. And sometimes while serving others, we find ourselves in some very unusual situations. And I'm sure that many of you have your stories that you could share. While I was preaching in Bowie, Texas, many, many years ago now, I got a call in the middle of the night from a distraught mother telling me that her son, who was a new Christian and a recovering alcoholic, that he got in a big argument with his wife and she just left him. She left him. And he was home alone drinking with a loaded gun that he had already shot into the ceiling. He told his mom over the phone that he was going to kill himself and would shoot anybody who tried to stop him. And then she asked, will you go talk to him? And I'm sure that I paused for quite a long time. Didn't you just tell me he's going to shoot anybody who tries to stop him? And I said, no, but I will certainly call the police. Now, I knew the police chief, okay? It wasn't that I was just, you know, going to, you know, rat him out, you know? I knew the police chief. He was a fellow Christian.
And he certainly was more capable of handling this than I could. And the police came and they helped him and arrested him that night, took him to a drunk tank in the county jail. But this was not the last that I saw him that night. Because I called up Mike Rowland. Mike Rowland was a deacon of the church, and he was the one who was instrumental in bringing this young man to Christ. And I told Mike what had happened and what's going on. And I said, Mike, would you mind meeting me there at the jailhouse? Will you meet me? And Mike said, I sure will, Fred. And so we went down to the jail to see him, to comfort him, to pray for him, and just let him know, hey, we're here. We want you to know we're here. And we know what's happened. We know that, you know, you're a recovering alcoholic. You went out and you still drank all this stuff. But we love you, brother. We love you. And we are here to help. And we, you know, sought and got him the help that he was needing and all these things. It's important for us to understand that when you're serving others, you will find yourself in situations that's not always comfortable. Not always comfortable. But we got to realize, too, that if you ever want to serve and be used by God to serve like Jesus served, you've got to be willing to be inconvenienced. You've got to be willing to be inconvenienced. Did you realize that almost every miracle that Jesus performed was a result of an interruption? Read through the Gospels. Most of them were the result of an interruption. Jesus allowed himself to be interrupted when people needed him. He knew that the hurting and the wounded cannot wait. They simply cannot wait. Paul tells us in Philippians 2 verse 5 that in that we too are to have the same servant attitude as Jesus. We are to be there and being willing to be interrupted and inconvenienced in order to be a true servant of Christ. Amen? But then thirdly, by serving one another, we serve Christ. I want you now, you should be in Matthew 20, but I want you to turn to Matthew 25. And we will have this up on the screen. Matthew 25. In this passage here, in Matthew 25, 31 and following, this is the passage that Ben referred to earlier. In Matthew chapter 25, 31 and following, in verse 31, Jesus tells a parable of how one day God is going to judge the world. And he is going to separate the righteous from the wicked. He said the righteous will be on his right, the wicked on his left. Okay? And so he says that what he will say, first of all, to the righteous, he will say, come to me, blessed my Father, to inherit the kingdom of God that was prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And he tells them why, beginning with verse 35. Let's read it. He says, because, in verse 35, for I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. But the righteous will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needed clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and went to visit you? But the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for the one who is the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. You did it for me. Again, by helping others with their needs, even the smallest of needs, a drink of water, even the smallest of needs, we are actually doing it for Jesus. I mean, like those in the parable, we may ask, but Lord, I mean, when have we seen you? When have we seen you in need and helped you? And Jesus will say, do you remember that single mom who lost her job and didn't have money to feed her family? And you went to the grocery store and bought them a week's full of groceries. Do you remember doing that? Do you remember that man who was working on the street in front of your house during that blistering hot summer day, and you prepared a large jug full of ice water and took it to him? Do you remember that family whose house burned down to the ground and had nowhere to go, and you allowed them to stay with you until they found a place for them on their own, that they found another place to live? How about that little girl who didn't have any clothing to wear to school, and you emptied your daughter's closet? Remember that poor widower who lied sick in that hospital bed for over a month and had no family to visit him, but hardly a day went by that you didn't go and, you know, at least call him or visit with him and to pray with him. And don't forget that young man who got in trouble with the law and was sent to jail. And even though he was shunned by everyone else, you showed him love and compassion and directed him to a better life. If you do it even to the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. The fact is, church, we see Jesus almost every day. We see him almost every day. He's the new student at school who has trouble making friends. He's the neighbor who has been told that the bank is foreclosing on his house. He's the single mother down the street struggling with carrying her groceries into the house while tending to her children. He's the coworker who is having marital problems. He's the young man who got involved with the wrong crowd and wound up in jail. Jesus is the fellow Christian who is sharply rebuked for no apparent reason. The Bible class teacher who is on the verge of burnout. The elder who feels unappreciated. The preacher who wonders if anybody is even listening anymore. When we know a people in need, we have the opportunity to serve Christ by serving them. And one way that we serve others is just by letting them know that we care. That we truly care. I shared this with you once before, but I love this story that Max Lucado told in a sermon. I went to a Tulsa soul winning workshop when I was in the Church of Christ. By the way, if you didn't realize, Max Lucado started out in the Church of Christ. And he still is with, you know, with that fellowship, but now they have brought instruments into their church. But Max Lucado was one of the keynote speakers at that workshop. And he tells a story about a member of the Oak Hills church where he preached named Mark Knutson of, again, San Antonio, Texas, who on August 28, 1993, was diagnosed with cancer and was already in the latter stages of it and really didn't have much, you know, very long to live. And Mark wasn't so much concerned for himself, but for his family, his wife and two children. You know, how would they hold up? Would they be loved and supported through this ordeal? On September 19th, he received his answer. The Knutson family opened the windows and they saw on the street filled with Christian friends. And after completely encircling the house, the people joined hands and they prayed. They prayed for Mark. They prayed for the family. They prayed for grace and strength. They let the Knutson family know that they were loved. Mark's wife wrote these words. There's no way to fully describe what happened at my house. We saw a living example of what the body of Christ should be. It was lived out before our eyes. Mark and I were especially down that morning. We were praying to God for his strength and comfort when we heard a commotion outside. And as we looked through the window, we saw our church family gathering on our front lawn, forming a prayer circle around our entire house. And Mark and I stepped outside into the front porch as we heard a symphony of prayers echoing through the neighborhood. And Mark sat on the front step and cried. Now, this wasn't the one and only time that these Christians publicly displayed their love for this family. As Mark's health began to deteriorate, he wasn't allowed to receive visitors anymore. And so for the next 6 weeks, a day didn't go by that groups of 2 to 20 would come and pray for Mark and his family in the corner of the yard. And they kept a prayer register on the back porch so Mark could know who it was, who was there, to let him know who had been praying for him without really disturbing him. Some faithfully sent cards of concern and support, while others helped with transportation and other needs of the Knutson children. The Knutson family said, we truly felt a hedge of love encircling our home. In November of that year, Mark passed away. But he passed away knowing that he and his wife and children were deeply, deeply loved by their church family. But that's not all. Because as a direct result of witnessing for 6 weeks straight the love that these Christians had for this family and for each other, 3 of Mark's neighbors obeyed the gospel. One neighbor commented on how blessed he was to see Jesus in action. You see, that's what our mission is. It is Jesus in action. And you have an opportunity to serve Christ by serving in a ministry. And if you haven't been part of a ministry yet, then this is the question you need to be asked. Let's bring up that slide if we can, please. Maybe having some difficulties back there. The question you should be asking is this: where can I serve? Where can I serve? You know, ministry is so important. And yesterday I saw a lot of servants, yesterday who came and helped out. I mean, not everybody was able to be here. Not everybody can be everywhere at the same time. There are times when we may have something that's going on and you just simply, for one reason or another, just cannot be there. And God certainly understands that, okay? But if you have an opportunity to serve and you're able to do so, look for ways where you can serve. And I know as I look over this congregation that I know we've got a lot of servants in this church. I've seen you serve. I've seen you involved in so many ministries and so many things that you're doing. And some of you are involved not in one ministry, but not in two, but multiple ministries. And we thank God for you. We thank God for you. Because sometimes the problem is people just don't step up and serve like they should. And so others have to go in and even though they're involved in other areas and other ministries, they also have to pick up the slack. So this is an opportunity as we talk about our mission here, serve one another. And the action there is simply help in the ministry. If you don't know where to serve, come to me. Come to me. Because we've got a place for you, okay? We got a place where you can serve if you truly want to serve. We're going to be singing this invitation song. And during this invitation song is just an opportunity for us to truly look deep within our own hearts and souls and ask ourselves the question, am I the kind of servant that God wants me to be? Can I do more? Are there areas where I just have always turned it down and not really serving the way that I should? And maybe there are some things that you want us to pray about in your life. Maybe for that very reason. It could be some other things that you're going through. Some difficulties that you're facing. Some problems you're going through. If so, then let us minister to you this morning by surrounding you in prayer. Because we are here for you, we love you, and we want to help in any way that we can. If you want to learn more about Jesus, if you haven't yet given your life to Christ, you want to learn more about Jesus, man, please come to me. Come to me. And we will open up the Bible and talk to you about who Jesus is and what he has done for you.